Hey, thanks for dropping by. Come on in.
Time to retire to the drawing room.
Sorry to be the one that have to break the news to you, but you're ugly. And that makes life difficult. It also means no one's really ever going to want to hear from you, see you, write about you, base a character on you. None of that. None of that will ever happen to you because you have to be beautiful in order to be part of popular culture. That's what I've discerned. I'm not entirely sure whether it's true. But I have a feeling that a couple of my guests in the drawing room are going to, if not take issue with that, then try to break that mold. Lynette Washington has edited a new collection of short stories, which is called Breaking Beauty. And so she's an editor, but also a contributor to that collection, along with Matthew Gabriel, who is a contributor and is apparently very ugly, if you were to read his story. Although, as I look at him now, you're actually reasonably handsome. Are you just overly self-conscious? What's going on?
Well, perhaps. I don't know. Well, at least maybe the character is, yeah.
Or maybe the brace has started working. This was a phenomenal story, but I'll get to that in a moment. Okay. Lynette, welcome aboard as well.
Thank you, Ali.
Why? How did you stumble upon this?
Well, I was just having a chat with the publisher, actually, and we were throwing a few ideas around, and nothing was sticking. And I just really threw that word into the mix, and all of a sudden it seemed like that was something really interesting and something that we could go with and something that had lots of dimensions. Yeah, it was exciting from there on in. We knew that it was going to work. And, you know, I think, like you were saying, beauty is sort of a bit of an obsession of our times. And but how well do we really know what that means? And that's what we tried to sort of look at with this collection.
So how did you decide to go about collecting? Were you looking for people who would write about ugliness specifically in the way that Matthew's done, or try to critique it, or what? I mean, what was the end game here?
Oh, look, I don't think I had an end game, to be honest. I was just really interested in what everyone would come up with. I knew that we had a really special group of writers. All of the contributors from this collection participated in the postgrad creative writing program at the University of Adelaide. So they had all, you know, achieved a certain amount of success. Some were well established already in their careers, some were emerging, but they were all really, you know, clever people. And I just knew that they'd all approach it differently. And I was intrigued to see how that would happen. And what we ended up with was a collection that's really full of completely unique stories. I think no two are the same, and no two really look at the idea of beauty from the same perspective.
And what did you think when Matthew's very obsessive letter to his son appeared, which has this contraption as the hero of the piece, really, that I can barely fathom? How did that strike you as an editor?
Do you know what? I loved that from the very minute I read it. Matthew has created a great voice in this piece. It's a really, you know, his writing style, the voice he's created, is unlike anything else in the collection. But I love that it was a satire, you know, like it's a razor-sharp kind of look at the beauty industry and how absurd it is.
It's a brutal satire, isn't it, really?
And the collection really benefits from that, because a lot of the other stories have a sort of intensity about them, which I love as well. But it's nice to be able to have a story like Matthew's to sort of slip in and, you know, you don't really take a breather with it because it's pretty full on. But
yes, it is.
I was laughing. I actually was laughing out loud as I was reading it. So I just knew it was a winner.
Well, we should probably just calm down a little bit on the praise, because I think he's overheating a little and the plastic's starting to melt, and it's getting a bit awkward. I'm going to get you to explain this in whatever way you want, Matthew, because I feel like whatever I say will merely ruin it, and I don't know what you want to give away and what you don't.
But yeah, that's okay.
Tell us about this contraption.
Oh, the contraption. Well, I suppose that was where the start of the idea of the story came, you know, the kind of idea of, like, I actually wanted to write it as a patent, the actual story in which, you know, like, there was this patent for this very bizarre machine.
So just as a patent application?
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than as a story.
But then it transformed into a letter, into a story, yeah. But, I mean, the whole kind of idea is that, you know, I suppose I just thought about, you know, all those things that we have around us every day that we kind of take for granted that are just there amongst us. But when we look back, I suppose, in the past, and we think how absurd some of the ideas are, and I suppose the idea of thinking of the absurd things that perhaps we have around us.
Oh, the future generations will look back on us.
And kind of like think, what were we thinking? And I think one of those ideas is our conception of beauty, perhaps, and the way it's portrayed from popular culture all throughout, you know, that we'll perhaps look back at that and think, what were we thinking? It stemmed from that idea.
And so you've imagined, you called it a machine there. Which I hadn't really thought of it as a machine. I thought of it more as a contraption, but something that would effectively fix your ugliness.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the most horrific way.
Yeah, yeah. And the story kind of works in a kind of a horror that kind of sits in there with, you know, the mask itself. But yeah, and particularly, I suppose, you know, from the get-go, I jumped on the taboo of potentially thinking that your own son is ugly, which, you know, forbid.
As an objective, verifiable fact as well, which is the way that you put it. Do you actually believe you're ugly in the way that you've portrayed here, or is this an entirely fictionalised world?
Look, it's a fictionalised world in a sense, but I suppose everything kind of, it's not necessarily a perception of ugliness itself, but the idea is that, you know, there's always just trying to juggle these concepts of, you know, what are the expectations and stuff. And the kind of central character is, you know, is teetering on that. You know, at the beginning, you're not quite sure whereabouts they're coming from. So, you know, by the time you get to the end, you're fairly certain that they may not be all together with us. So,
yeah. No, it's an extraordinary piece of writing. But you hear that, Lynette? I think he actually rates himself a little bit there. That's the right.
Yeah, it sounds like he does, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, no, of course, I'm not ugly. No.
I'm completely objective. I've got no comment.
No, I'm sure that's true. Is there something about ugly characters, though, that makes them very good fodder for writing, whether it be fictional or non-fiction?
I think, you know, there's always some sympathy and perhaps some empathy in an unattractive character. We don't all imagine ourselves to look like supermodels or movie stars, so perhaps they're more relatable and perhaps more interesting as well, because perhaps they have challenges that we can relate to or challenges that the beautiful people of our world don't have. I think there's definitely something interesting there that's good fodder.
I've got to say, I always find attractive characters, especially when they're described as being overly attractive, I feel like they fall flat on the page a bit for me. Because I just want to Google image them and get it over and done with, you know. Like, there's something about it where, in an image-drenched culture particularly... Mm.
Well, you see it a lot in celebrity culture itself, you know, like we're always at the supermarket aisle, we're always looking for that, you know, the next pick to kind of like really show what perhaps we see, you know, is put up as somehow beautiful. But then, you know, there's this kind of like desire to see the failing of beauty in some senses as well, isn't there?
Mm, but then, there's this sort of vicious relationship that operates at both poles, really, isn't there? Because there's the beauty industry and there's the creation of a beautiful archetype. Mm. And then there's the simultaneous destruction of that archetype through publishing photos that are unflattering or whatever it is. Since you're reflecting on the time, Matthew, and this is a satire of the time for the people of the future that you've written, what is it that you think drives that absurdity? How would you explain it to someone from the future?
Well, I suppose the thing is that the concept of beauty is this idea that comes at us from all angles and stuff. And I suppose we've got to try and, you know, deal with it in whatever way we can. Sometimes that can be, you know, really subjugating for people. And sometimes it can be, you know, something in which they aspire to. And, you know, it's that, I suppose, our personal way in that we kind of deal with it, that we all at some point have felt that ugliness or perhaps that beauty, you know, those moments that, you know, are, I suppose, just part of human experience.
What's the fact of having to deal with it, though, that's interesting? Mm. Do you think that previous generations didn't?
No, but I think that you can look at not just perhaps not other generations, but also other cultures might deal with it in a different way. Like, I mean, if you look at us now, there is an obsession with youth and this kind of concept of young is beautiful. And we kind of see this played out with the pressures on people to look younger and to kind of maintain this youthful ideal where perhaps, you know, there might be something said about, you know, trying to be beautiful within the parameters of where you sit in life. I don't know.
Yeah, the genetics you've been handed.
Yeah, and the other things, you know.
Oh, I see.
Just going to add that I think there's also something else at play here, which is that idea that your external beauty is somehow a reflection of what you are inside. Mm. And so when we see a beautiful person, we think that they have a beautiful soul or personality or whatever, however you categorise that aspect of ourselves. So we're making an assumption when we see someone who's not beautiful that somehow they're not a good person or, you know, that there's some deficit in them in some way.
Don't you think an opposite mythology also is in play? That sometimes we're inclined to assume that beautiful people must be horrible people and that the opposite might be true as well?
Look, I'm sure in reality it's certainly true, but do we see that in play? Like, you know, Matt was talking about celebrity culture and celebrity magazines. Mm. You know, I think those people are given to us as aspirational figures. Mm. And so we see them as people to aspire to, both in the way they look and in the way they behave. And there's a lot of celebrity culture around, you know, activism as well that kind of feeds into that too. You know, we've just seen a lot of that going on with Bob Geldof and the Do the Now It's Christmas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's, I think that's a more powerful kind of idea that beauty is associated with goodness.
Yeah, right. And if you associate that with youth as well, we have youth and beauty and a kind of refined dignity, which is really what Schoolies is all about. You're in the drawing room. Lynette Washington is the editor and contributor too. I want to talk about her contribution to the book called Breaking Beauty. It's a collection of short stories. And Matthew Gabriel is a contributor to this. They are my guests in the drawing room. Lynette, your contribution is, it's really exploring, it seems to me, I suppose beauty in an oblique way, but really the connection between beauty or the lack thereof in a conventional sense and sexuality, that kind of what you were aiming to do?
Oh, look, the story came out of the idea that we have these ideas around marriage, that marriage is a very conventional thing and it has to be played out in a conventional way. But what I wanted to really explore was that it doesn't actually have to be, that, you know, marriage is a covenant between two consenting adults and it's kind of up to them as to how they decide to, you know, enact that. But what I started the story out was with an image of a husband observing his wife flirting with another man, and he was looking at her from a very physical point of view, and he was noticing her physical appearance, and, you know, she's a beautiful woman. But to me, that wasn't the moment of beauty in the story. For me, the moment of beauty came right at the very end in the last paragraph, where there's a really, I guess, how would I describe it?
You can say it's touching. You can say it's moving.
Touching, intimate, emotional, moving moment between the husband and wife, and to me, that's beauty, that sort of moment where two people share something really special, and it's fleeting, and it's ephemeral, and it doesn't last, but it's a moment, and it's imprinted somehow on those people. That, for me, is a far more interesting idea of beauty than the kind that we're dished out daily in the news media.
There is something you learn about the husband along the way, which does, I think, radically transform the story. Now, I don't want to divulge what you don't want to divulge, but that's a pretty core element of what you're trying to say, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I debated whether to leave that to the end, you know, as a twist, or whether to introduce that idea first. Or, you know, up front. And I left it till fairly late in the story because I kind of wanted the reader to have a certain kind of assumption and then to change that assumption, or hopefully to see that relationship differently once they get the full picture. Because I think so often we do see life through a very narrow lens and we don't actually think about everything that's going on in someone's life. We just judge them based on, you know, a small amount of information. And we do that all the time. But I was really trying to get people to think about that and to think, well, actually, I don't know everything about these people. I'm not going to judge them because I don't have all the facts.
But you're also, I suppose, surprising readers with a sense of what his sexuality is, or at least might be, because it's not fully explained. So are there other assumptions about sexuality specifically that you're trying to interrogate there?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm really interested in the idea of sort of masculine sexuality, and because we have such a narrow idea of that, I think, in the mainstream culture, that there's this kind of alpha male thing going on, and that men have to be a certain way in order to be sexual. They have to be dominant, perhaps, or maybe even aggressive, you know, in some cases. But this character is certainly not either of those things, and yet he's having a fulfilling sexual experience with the woman that he loves.
It's probably as much as we can discuss about that story without giving away the twist. This is the problem. We duck ourselves into these little corners of surprise. But Matthew, I do want to ask you, because is it true when you were approached, the question of what is beauty anyway was something you were actively being asked to consider? Is that true?
Yeah, it was.
So what's your answer?
Well, I suppose it's one of those questions that's really almost unanswerable, isn't it? And in a sense, beauty, I suppose, it stretches across so many things. For all the ugliness, perhaps, in my story, I think there is moments of in which, you know, there is beauty. And for me, like, the beauty is perhaps that sense of trying to connect with another in some sense.
Which is the kind of the sense of beauty that Lynette's talking about at the end of her story.
Yeah, definitely. So it's kind of entwined in that, I suppose, yeah.
But be honest, was that the thing that first came to mind when you were asked to write something looking at beauty? Or were you thinking physically?
Well, I suppose I was thinking physically.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Why? Why is that, do you reckon? Because, I mean, that's, that would be what I would do. I think that's what everyone would
do. It's really interesting, yeah. And, I mean, one of the great things is, like, when you actually read through the stories in the collection is the completely different ways that people have dealt with it. Some people, you know, dealing with a really kind of, you know, almost like that eternal sense of beauty in some other way. But for me, yeah, it was just first, I suppose, just to go straight for, the jugular in some sense.
Well, you certainly did that.
Yeah. And to, you know, to try and kind of like turn that a bit on its head.
So, Lynette, what have you learnt about beauty from your contributors and the varied contributions they made?
Well, yeah, good question. I think the thing that I've learnt the most is that there is no one idea of what beauty is, and that it can be physical in the sense of the human body, but that's actually a really small part of it, and that it's so much bigger than that. You know, we've had contributors who have found moments of beauty in finials and swords and cupcakes and, you know, sort of these tiny sort of moments in life and these physical objects, but also lots of beauty has been found in human relationships, you know, between parents and children, you know, lovers, all sorts of human relationships. So I think, you know, for me, my understanding of beauty has been radically expanded to include so much more than what I imagined it to be.
And do you, either of you have a view on whether or not beauty is something that's entirely socially just agreed upon, like an artificial kind of convergence upon an ideal? This is, we'll call this beautiful for now and it's not tomorrow. Or is there something inherent? Is there something real that you can say, no, there is an objectivity, even if we can't access it precisely. There's an objectivity to what is and isn't beautiful.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's completely subjective. And it's, you know, if you look at even Renaissance paintings of women, right, look at those images and what was considered beautiful then. Our idea of a female physical beauty now is so very different to that. And even in contemporary times, if you look to different cultures, the ideas of what is physically beautiful is are so different. So I don't think there is anything at all objective about it. I think, quite frankly, we're kind of brainwashed into this very narrow view.
Do you think, though, like Matthew, do you reckon that we could take someone who we would all agree is hideously ugly, whether it be physically or emotionally or whatever it is, and take that to another time and other people wouldn't recognise it similarly?
Well, look,
I mean, the central character in your
where he gets transported, I'm not quite sure. But it's a really good question in the sense that myself, I'm probably convinced that it is somehow kind of a culturally formed...
an artifice.
Yeah, an artifice. But at the same time, like, you know, it is a compelling argument, the idea, and that somehow there is something that kind of stretches beyond us, that is, you know, somehow kind of outside us. And, you know, I suppose, for want of a better word, a kind of eternal sense. And, you know, I suppose particularly when people look towards things such as nature and those things, definitely, you know, that's a very compelling argument.
I mean, is kindness beautiful, or is that just an agreed upon thing for the moment?
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Yeah. And you know, I'm willing to be convinced, but yeah.
Lynette?
I was actually just thinking, I'm glad Matt's answering that one, because that's a tough one. I mean, to me it is, certainly. If I see a moment of kindness between two people, I absolutely think that's a beautiful thing. But that's me. That's my perspective. And I don't know that that's a universal thing. But certainly if I see an act of aggression or violence of some kind, I think that's, and one of the words that springs to my mind in those situations is ugly. To me, that is ugly. So,
except it's interesting because if you talk to someone, for example, who's a master in martial arts, they can look at an act of violence as a beautiful thing because of the way it's executed.
And skillful and all that. And of course, yes, there's always shades of grey.
Well, now that we've confused that sufficiently, I think it remains for me only to plug the book. Yeah. Breaking Beauty is the name of the book. They are stories edited by Lynette Washington. She's even written one herself. How she got that past the editor, I will never know, but she managed to. She is the editor and the contributor to that book. Matthew Gabriel is a contributor to Breaking Beauty. They are my guests in the drawing room, which is now at an end. I could keep going forever, but sadly we
can't.
So thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
We're out of here for another day. 6 o'clock tomorrow, we'll be back and reconvene. See you then.